And joining me on the line this morning is the senior associate in the employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. And this is a very, very serious story. And I know that there are grey areas, but having had my own experience in terms of somebody I know very close to me who was involved in a case like this and actually came out successful at the end of it at a case like this, it makes me want to sort of say to you that if you are or if you think that you are part of sexual harassment, and sexual harassment is a very sort of subtle way sometimes at the beginning, and then it boils over into some other stuff. But let's have a chat to the expert on this. Sexual harassment has been called the most heinous misconduct that plagues the workplace by the Labour Appeal Court. While the rules around sexual harassment may seem sort of obvious, there are actually many grey areas, and as a result, many myths which actually should be demystified. And this morning we chat to Andy Bosetno, senior associate in the employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, and she debunks some of the common misunderstandings around sexual harassment at work. Andy, a very good morning to you and welcome to the show.
Good morning, Zen.
How common is sexual harassment in the workplace, Andy?
Unfortunately, sexual harassment is quite common, and it's getting more and more common with a downturn in the economy. Some studies have actually shown that the worse the economy is doing, the more sexual harassment increases. There are various reasons for that, and one of it has been shown to be that in some instances, individuals feel that they have less power at home because of less finances, and then unfortunately it has the impact of them trying to exercise that power at work, which unfortunately leads to instances of sexual harassment.
And there are a number of myths and falsehoods around sexual harassment. I mean, one of them, you can only accuse a colleague of sexual harassment in the workplace. Run us through some of these myths and let's just debunk these stories, because this is a very serious matter in the workplace. And it starts very gentle, like I look at you and I don't even touch you and I say certain remarks which make you feel uncomfortable, really uncomfortable, either as a man or as a woman. And I'd like to say it goes both ways in the workplace or anywhere else. So run us through a few of those myths and let's debunk this and let's get the sort of clarity on it this morning, Andy.
So, Zane, one of the myths is that sexual harassment can only be committed by one of your employees, when, in fact, the most important thing for an employer to remember is that you have an obligation to protect your employees against sexual harassment. But that protection is quite wide, because it's not only an employee that can sexually harass another employee, but you have an obligation to protect them against clients, against independent contractors, against anyone who's rendering a service at your premises or visiting your premises who may be sexually harassing your employee in the working relationship. So that obligation is quite wide, and often it puts various corporate entities or other companies in an awkward position, because that means that in some instances where your clients or customers are acting in a manner that's not welcome towards you, whether it be female or male employees, then they could get into trouble, and they should be spoken to about the fact that they're sexually harassing them.
And when do you sort of look at the situation and say, listen, I feel uncomfortable with this, I need to report this? Does it have to... You know, sometimes people say, it's only him, he's that particular way, he's just that way, or she is just that way. But in the meantime, subtly behind the scenes, the person I know who went through the sexual harassment case said that I felt that this man was undressing me with his eyes and his thoughts. So when do you become uncomfortable, and when do you report it? And, you know, this opens up a whole lot of stuff. And we're chatting to Anneli Besaiden, the senior associate in the employment practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, about sexual harassment. And this lady said to me, I felt that he was undressing me with his eyes and his thoughts.
Correct. I mean, the definition of sexual harassment says it's conduct that's unwelcome of a sexual nature. Now, the conduct can be verbal and nonverbal, and employers should be aware of that, because that means that it doesn't necessarily have to be physical touch for it to constitute sexual harassment. The example that you mentioned is an ideal example of sexual harassment. It can also be inappropriate WhatsApp messages or emails being sent to your employees that are making them feel uncomfortable without even anyone ever having physically touched to them. So So sexual harassment is wide. It's also a very sensitive topic because not all employees are willing to report it. So if you as the employer can see sexual harassment occurring, or you can see that one of your employees is acting inappropriately, we would recommend that you take action without waiting for a complaint to be laid, because some males and females feel strong enough to lay the complaint, and others will keep quiet, and it could deteriorate significantly over time.
Is the fact that people who normally keep quiet, is it sort of I'm scared to report the matter? And is it a case of, you know, I'm going to be victimized if I do report it?
It's exactly that. Unfortunately, sexual harassment is mostly linked to a power play. It's also mostly linked to a situation where it's a senior employee sexually harassing a junior employee. So in most instances, your employee who's being sexually harassed is already in a vulnerable position before even having reported the matter. A lot of employees, even in our current situation, still feel that they don't have the power to report it, despite the fact that the Labour Court has on numerous occasions said this is one of the worst types of misconduct that you can ever commit in the workplace.
Sexual harassment is often seen as sort of males harassing females, and I think that's the general misconception there. Do we see it in the opposite direction also?
Yes, it can be male to female, female to male, male to male, female to female. It can be basically anything. As soon as it's conduct that's unwelcome of a sexual nature, it constitutes sexual harassment. I think two other important myths and that need to be addressed is the fact that you need to commit various instances in order for it to be sexual harassment. That's not correct. It can be one instance. It can be one example where your employee feels uncomfortable and you have an obligation to act. Another myth, which is also quite an important one, is that the fact that there has been any relationship between the two individuals in the past doesn't mean that any future conduct makes that sexual conduct welcome. So in other words, if I had a relationship with my colleague and that relationship has broken down, that doesn't mean it's okay for my employer to accept this colleague is touching me in a way that's inappropriate or speaking to me in a way that's inappropriate, because a mutual or consensual relationship can still become sexual harassment.
And once you've sort of identified this either as an employer or you've identified this as an employee, what steps do I take when you start feeling violated?
If it's an external party that's sexually harassing one of your employees, the obligations be to ensure that you address it with that external party and that you protect your employee. If it's an independent contractor or a service provider at your premises or a client, I think at the very least a conversation needs to happen, possibly the termination of the relationship, and just to ensure that you're putting your employee in the safest position. If it's sexual harassment between two of your employees, then it becomes more onerous in that you're required to investigate the matter. Most importantly is that you need to ensure that the matter is treated in a confidential manner so that the complainant is protected. The complainant has a right to say that their name doesn't necessarily want to be mentioned or they want it to be kept confidential. They also have an election to follow an informal or a formal process. So they're quite protected, and it's regulated in a lot of detail in our legislation to ensure that they're protected and that they're in the safest position possible.
Chatting this morning to Annelie Besaidnout, Senior Associate in the Employment Practice at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you very much for sort of opening up the doors. And I would like to say to anybody out there, if you are sitting in a situation whereby you feel that you are being sexually harassed, and it doesn't need to be physical things. It's WhatsApp messages. It is comments that they make and stuff like that. So you need to approach your HR and need to approach somebody in the company, your seniors, and you need to report this and chat through it. And we had a chat there to Annelie Besaidnout. 5:30, time for the latest Eyewitness News headlines.